Please join me in prayer.
Bless us this day, O Lord, with vision. May this place be a sacred place, a telling space, where heaven and earth meet. Amen. This morning, I want for us to think about the power of story. I don't know about you, but for me, story is something that gives me energy and the ability to move on, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. The stories that most inspire us, I think, are the big epic stories that include challenge and hardship, but ultimately we see the hero moving forward in life. Maybe not to some great victory, but at least moving on to the next phase of life. The great author Salman Rushdie says this about us as human beings. He writes, "We are, as human beings, storytelling animals. We are the only creature on earth that tells itself stories in order to understand what it is and what its life means. Therefore, the story is of unusual importance to us, whether we are writers or not. It is something unusually important to human nature." I think that part of the reason that stories so inspire us is because they orient us to truth. There is something about stories that orient us to the truth of Jesus. A good story reminds us of many things. Great stories inspire us to great acts of courage, charity, heroism, and they strengthen us for the everydayness of ordinary life. In short, they give us hope. Now, of course, the ultimate story is the story of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. This is the story of all of Scripture and the story that grounds us in God's love for us. It is also the story that reminds us that Jesus has the last word, and that for those who trust Him, that word is life. This morning we heard from the Old Testament, and we heard from one of the great stories of humanity, the story of the Exodus, which is the story of God redeeming His people from slavery. As we think about this story, we hear all kinds of details in the verses that precede where we picked up in verse 14 that give us the why behind all of the meticulous details that those verses give. Why are we celebrating the Passover? Why were the people of Israel required to do all these very specific and meticulous things in order to celebrate that Passover? Verse 16 says that it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with His mighty hand. You see, all of these details were about remembering. In fact, Orthodox Jews, even to this day, use phylactery, which is a small box of scripture which they literally bind to their wrist and to their forehead as a sign of obedience. But ultimately, that sign is really about the story that's in that scripture. It's about remembering that God delivered them. We often in the church, I think, have a tendency to dismiss these details and practices as legalistic rituals. And yet every aspect of the celebration and these rules are not simply empty legalism. They help the people of Israel, and they helped the people of Israel ritually remember what God had done for them in the Exodus. That binding of the phylactery around the wrist and on the forehead is a very specific act that in the act of it, the idea is that they would remember what God has done for them. These stories and symbols are powerful reminders for the people of Israel. They provide them with strength and energy for the journey on the long road to the promised land. And throughout the rest of the story of the Old Testament, the people of Israel are told time and time again to remember what God had done for them. Every one of their customs, their feasts, the rules, and even the clothes that they wore were all designed to help them do just that, to remember. Why does that matter? It matters because of what the next verses tell us. Listen to verses 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. In other words, God put them on the long way home. Now, there are three possible routes that the people of Israel could have taken from Egypt back to the Promised Land. The first is through, as the verses say, the Philistine country. This is a dangerous journey because this road was the well-traveled road that was well-guarded by the Egyptians. It was a trade route. And so if they were to take that route, they would, of course, encounter Egyptian forces and they would be forced to fight. And God knew that if they were forced to fight, they might want to turn around and go back to Egypt. Now, of course, we know the story very well, and we know that there were all kinds of other reasons why the people of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. We, as human beings, are fickle creatures. We lose sight of hard goals in the midst of challenge. The second route would be across the Sinai Peninsula. This would have been across literally a desert where there was little to no water available for the people of Israel. And so that is not a viable route either. And then, of course, the last option, the third option, is the desert road, the long way home, which is the way that God led them with the pillar of fire and the at night and the pillar of cloud during the day. Now, we can't explain exactly what the pillars were like other than what Scripture tells us, but we know that they were symbolic of the fact that God was present with them on their journey. This is vital to us. I think we live in a time when our traditions and rituals are too few and far between. But I would suggest that we need them as much as the Israelites did. We need to be reminded because you and I don't get pillars of cloud and fire. So perhaps it is our stories of God's presence in our lives that are those pillars for us. It is the stories that we tell one another of God's presence in our lives that are so important to us as we take the long road home. We all find ourselves on journeys. Journeys that for some are difficult and painful. For others, not so much. But either way, it's a long journey. Life is hard. But telling our stories to one another help. They point us to God. They point us to God's presence in the midst of our difficult journeys. You know, this is a hard idea for us sometimes. And I'll admit to you that for myself, for a long time, I struggled with these the way we tell that story. In fact, I remember when I was in seminary, I had an experience where I was listening to a particular preacher talk, and he talked about told a story about how he had experienced when he was in seminary that they had an unexpected bill come due. And he told about how they were just so worried about how they were going to pay this bill. They didn't have any money. And then they went to the mailbox the next morning, and there was a check for the exact amount of the bill that they had received. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's nice that that's your story, but that's not my story. I've never experienced that. Now, I'm not saying that that didn't happen. All I'm saying is that to me, it didn't ring true because I hadn't experienced it. But I want to tell you that I have just come through a season of life where I have seen God's provision more clearly than any other time in my life. 4 years ago, I was serving at a church and my position was eliminated, and I found myself without, as we say in the ministry, without call, without a job. And I can tell you that time after time in the last 4 years, we have seen God's provision through friends, through jobs, through all kinds of different ways, in a way that demonstrated that God was walking with us, even though there were many weeks and months where we felt alone and we felt like we weren't sure that we were on the right track. And then just when we were reaching the end of our rope, we would experience God's provision in some way. Now, some of those ways were big, some of those ways were small. The point is that by telling those stories, by remembering and watching for those things, we were given food for the journey. We were given energy and the ability to continue moving forward. And so, friends, as we enter this season where here at Riverside, we're looking at the story of Riverside, and we're thinking about the future of Riverside, it's important for us to remember to tell each other the stories of where God has shown up before, where we see God now. And I think even in the midst of where we find ourselves in our country with this virus and the pandemic and all of those things, I sense that in the coming months, story is going to become even more important to us as we walk this difficult road together. So I want to encourage and challenge you. I want to encourage and challenge you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. I want you to ask God to give you eyes to see where He is. Like I said, we don't have the advantage of that the Israelites had of a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. But we do have the advantage of walking together as companions on this journey. And the way that we can provide those pillars is to tell each other the stories, to watch and see where God shows up, and then not just keep that to ourselves, but to share that with one another so that we might all have the energy we need to continue putting one foot in front of the other. Brothers and sisters, I truly believe that God shows up for us in the midst of difficult circumstances. And even though He may not take us by the most direct route to the promised land, He may and probably will take us the long way around, that we can know that God's presence is with us just as it was with the Israelites in the Exodus story. It is my hope that you might find encouragement and hope in the midst of this journey. And no matter what circumstances you're facing in your personal life, no matter what circumstances we're facing as a congregation, no matter what circumstances we're facing in the nation and in the world today, that we might tell each other the stories of where we see God showing up, so that we can keep putting one foot in front of the other, knowing that God walks with us every step of the way. Brothers and sisters, may you know God's peace in the midst of this journey. Amen.